Super Talk Mississippi Media Production. You're listening to Thunder and Lightning on Super Talk Mississippi, covering Mississippi State sports like nobody else. With Sports Talk Mississippi's Brian Haydad and Robbie Falk of On3 Sports. Now get ready for Thunder and Lightning.
This is Thunder and Lightning here on Super Talk Mississippi. Brian Haydad and Robbie Falk here with you on a Monday morning. Thanks for joining us at supertalk.fm or wherever it is that you get podcasts from. We appreciate you guys out there, our great listeners, especially our servicemen and women out there taking care of us. I want to thank our sponsors over at Strange Brew Coffeehouse and Churn and Spoon Ice Cream. Start your day the right way with a trip to the drive-thru over at Strange Brew Coffeehouse here in Starkville or at Brupolo over in Tupelo. Be a little weird, Robbie, if Brupolo was in Tollerville.
That'd be really weird. Really weird.
All right. Wherever you are in our great state, you can enjoy Strange Brew Coffee each and every morning. It's just a click away at strangebrewcoffeehouse.com.
Life's weird, Brian. Life's really weird.
It is, man.
At some point in time, both of my parents decided that the best thing for our family would be to cheer for Mississippi State. And delivered me down this path where I was working for a living, and I'm stuck in this, I don't know, the phantom zone. I don't know what it is, but yeah, life's weird.
I would like to quote the great philosopher Vincent Kennedy McMahon, who once said, "Life sucks, and then you die."
Yeah, sometimes a lot of times I am yearning for heaven and to be there with Jesus and all the people that I know. It would be significantly better than where we are right now. I understand that. So yeah, I mean, if that happens, if my time is today, I could not be any happier.
The Mississippi Beef Council wants to remind you that beef, it is what's for dinner. Time to start voting for your favorite steakhouse and favorite burger joint here in the great state of Mississippi. Just go to the Mississippi Beef Council's Facebook page. They've got the polls all set up for you, and you can get those places the recognition they deserve. I know my favorite burger, but I got to try some of these steakhouses. That's going to be a goal of ours. I think we need to make that a goal of ours in the coming months to get out and see some of these great places.
We need something that's going to be able to keep us going and keep us energized and be able to do this podcast on a regular basis.
Yeah. Well, yeah, on top of that, I cook a pretty good steak myself. So, whenever I get a chance, I'll throw a steak on the grill or throw a steak in the cast iron, and that's always a good day. Beef, it's what's for dinner, thanks to our friends at the Mississippi Beef Council. College Corner, collegecornerstore.com. That's the place to find the maroon and white merchandise that you are looking for. If you're looking for great gear with the interlocking, the M over S, or the state script, they've got it at College Corner. Perfect time to start shopping for the holidays. College Corner, collegecornerstore.com. Two locations in the Jackson area, ridden by Fleet Feet, followed by the Half Shell. And you can shop online at collegecornerstore.com. Priority One Bank, 16 locations here to serve you throughout central Mississippi. Let PriorityOneBank.com be your guide and show you not only are they going to help you invest and manage your money, but how they're going to help you prepare for the future. Now more than ever, when you have questions about your money, you need answers. You need to talk to somebody who knows you, who knows what you're looking for out of a bank, who knows what kind of relationship you want to have, and not just have a relationship with your money, have a relationship with you, the customer, as well. That's Priority One Bank. Let Priority One Bank make you their priority. Oh, here we go. Hold on a second. Let me read this. Okay. So our friend of the show, Eddie Radosevich, made a bet with a Texas guy. If Oklahoma wins 9 games this year, they'll make a donation to charity. And if it's the other way around, he would have made one to a donation to a charity in Texas. And so, yeah, that's pretty cool. I should do something like that with Richard.
Maybe this show should be us talking about charities. Our favorite charities. Things that will make us happy.
Let me do that, because this week I actually had a plan for that. Our friends at Extra Table, which is a great organization that helps feed Mississippians, right now they're doing their Thanksgiving Give Them the Bird promotion. All right, I'm going to put a link to the place where you can donate in the podcast description. So it'll be at supertalk.fm or it'll be here on your phone. And what they do every year is they ask for a $15 donation so they can buy chickens for people. And what they do is what their thought process is chickens, they're cheaper, they're just as delicious, and they are easier to cook. Like it's such an investment to cook a turkey. But you can cook it, everybody knows how to cook a chicken. So
Maybe I have a hot take here. I would prefer that.
you prefer chicken on Thanksgiving? I get it.
If it was socially acceptable, I would rather do chicken.
Well, I mean, I'll be honest with you, like it's just easier. Like
It
it's
is
you, drying out a turkey is not, it doesn't take a lot of effort. So
very
what I
easy to
want you
dry a
guys to do,
turkey.
if you're listening to the podcast over this next week as we get ready for Thanksgiving, consider making a donation to my friends at Extra Table. It's a $15 donation, and that provides three chickens for families here in Mississippi to have a nice Thanksgiving. If you can give more, great. But if you can't, that $15 donation goes a long, long way. So check out the link in the description of the podcast for Extra Tables. Give them the bird, and let's see if we can't make this a better holiday for some of our people here in the state of Mississippi. Good call, Robbie. I was going to bring it up, but let's just go ahead and do it now.
I had no idea that's the direction we were going to go, but I'm glad we did. We know
Yeah.
people, we know a lot of people that work with Extra Table that are just
I'll
genuinely
just say
great
this.
human beings.
I know how many people listen to this podcast on a daily basis, right? I know the number. I'm not going to say it out loud, but you and I, we've talked about it. We know the number, right? If I can get half of y'all to make that donation, you're going to make a lot of people down there happy. So let's see if we can't do that. As Bulldogs, let's all, band together and try to make this a better holiday. If you're listening, you're a Rebel, you're a Golden Eagle, a Tiger, whatever you are. Help us out and make that donation to Extra Table. All right. Now, that was the good news. Missouri 49, Mississippi State 27. I have a couple of stat. I have a stat later in the things that's true. It's just going to make you so mad. I can't wait to read it out loud. Let's just jump right in. Let's not have any fanfare. Tell them, Falk.
Well, I don't think that this year has been nearly as depressing as last year was.
I agree.
I physically, I was ill whenever I came in here each and every week, and I did not want to do this.
Yeah.
And today, I'm gonna be candid with you. I just really don't want to do this either, but something's got to give here, Brian. So, something has got to give with Jeff Lebby and with Mississippi State and this program. And if he's going to move forward as head coach at Mississippi State, he's going to have to change a lot of things. He's going to have to change some of his staff. He's going to have to change his philosophy on certain things. He's going to have to change some personnel. But what he's doing right now is not working. And I realize he's a coach. I was told yesterday that his decisions are correct because he's the coach and we're not. And my response to that is every single Sunday, it seems like there's someone who is smarter than all of us when it comes to football that is getting fired. And eventually, Jeff Lebby, if he continues to do what he's doing, which is lose games, he will be fired as well. He can go into a room, he can draw up a play, and I will have absolutely no idea how that play happens, what certain terminology is, things of that nature. But I can sit here and I can tell you with 100% certainty that what they are doing right now, specifically at the quarterback position, is not working. And I think that we, at this point, everybody understands that. The person that is the most novice football fan that there is understands that there is a gap between Blake Shapen and Kamario Taylor. And it's not in Blake Shapen's favor, it's in Kamario Taylor's favor. And we talked about this last week when we were discussing the plans moving forward with quarterback. We talked about what Blake Shapen is doing. The good things do not outweigh the bad right now. And the bad things from Kamario Taylor are not overshadowing the good that he does. When he came in the ball game last night, the offense was a little more fluid. They were keeping the defense on their heels. He did stuff to the defense pre-snap that Blake Shapen can't do. And again, I don't blame Blake Shapen for all of these issues. I think the blame is misplaced. I think a lot of people blame him for all the problems that Mississippi State is having offensively, and it's just simply not true. Blake Chapin isn't making a mistake on every play, and all these issues that they're having is not solely on Blake Chapin. A lot of it's on the offensive line, some of it's on play calling. But when you have the deficiencies that you do up front, and Mississippi State's offensive line, let's be clear, is awful. They have been absolutely terrible this year. And
Would you go so far as to say they've been putrid?
they've been putrid.
Oh,
There's no
okay.
doubt about it. And it's,
Yeah, you're
and
right.
when you have that, and that's kind of been my point, when you have those issues, would you not alleviate some of those problems with a guy that can escape the pocket, that a defense doesn't just pin their ears back and chase after and sack? Because when Mississippi State was in obvious passing downs with Blake Chapin in the ball game, they had no chance. If he got rid of the ball, it was snap and throw out of bounds. And that's where you are now as a program. Everybody's sick of it. Everybody's tired of watching it, and they're ready to move on. And so you have that side of things. Then you have the other side of things, which earlier this year we said it was absolutely the correct decision for Jeff Lebby to bring Coleman Hutzler back. They are now regressing to the mean of being bad on the defensive side of the ball. The defense in the last three games has been the 2024 defense. We are now seeing a defense that's poorly coached, that's poorly game planned. They're not giving the effort that they gave earlier on in the season. They're not tackling. All that is on coaching. You cannot get to this point of the season in game 11 and still make the mistakes that Mississippi State does on both sides of the ball and be coaching well. So the idea that this staff, the continuity and all that stuff, it made a lot of sense. Now we're seeing that the staff is just not doing a very good job of preparing these players, of developing these players into becoming a much better defense. By the end of the season now, Mississippi State is worse on both sides of the ball than they were at the start of SEC play. And that is a problem to me. That's a giant problem. And it all starts with Jeff Lebby. And you can't continue to get up there and say, we just need to execute better. We're not doing the little things. All of that falls on Jeff Lebby. Jeff Lebby is the one that has to fix that first and foremost. And these are his decisions that he made to hire these people as his coaches. These are the players that he brought in. You no longer have these rebuilding seasons. If you have the money and you have the means, you go out there and you make a team better. And this team is better. I don't think there's any question about that. But they shouldn't be at this point of the season making the egregious mistakes that they're making. The stuff that was happening in this game was despicable. It was absolutely awful. The snap off of the knee on the
Yeah.
kick, running five or six consecutive quarterback draws, throwing two pick sixes. It's just, this stuff is just elementary stuff, man. And everybody's sick of it. You're spending millions of dollars. These fans are footing the bill. The fan base is quickly jumping off the Jeff Lebby bandwagon. And I think the only way to get a lot of these people back is on Black Friday. Kamardo Taylor needs to be getting the majority of the reps at quarterback. It's time to move on. Blake Chapin's done a fantastic job of being a great leader of this team. He's been tough, he's been hard-nosed, and he's really helped bring Kamario along. But this is the future of your program. What are you doing if you aren't getting Kamario Taylor prepared for next season and beyond? So to get this fan base back in on your side, at least somewhat, Kamario Taylor needs to be starting for Mississippi State, needs to be getting most of the reps against Ole Miss, and you need to win that ball game. It's asking a lot, but you need to win that ball game, or else this fan base is out in the offseason, and that puts Jeff Lebby behind the eight ball in 2026.
You can't argue with anything you just said, and I won't. And I'm probably going to delve a little deeper into it now as we go into the things that are true. Brought to you by Bell Building Supply. We were just talking about Thanksgiving. The big green egg is what you should be cooking your turkey on. Don't be spending $40, $50, $60 for peanut oil to fry a turkey. All right. Smoke your turkey. You can still get that great crisp skin that you want, but you get that great smoky flavor as well when you use your big green egg. It is the perfect vehicle for a perfect Thanksgiving turkey. head over to Bell Building Supply here in Starkville. If you're anywhere in the Golden Triangle, this is the place to come to get the big green egg and have the holiday that you and your family deserve. The turkey is the star of the show on Thanksgiving Day. Make it its best with a big green egg from our friends at Bell Building Supply. How many do I got here today, Robbie? I got 14 things that are true.
Ooh.
Oh, since we had that many, but that's where we are. Number one, remember last week when the last thing that was true was I still believe that Jeff Lebby is the guy to lead this program? Well, that pendulum has swung. I don't know how I can continue to watch, and we're going to go into this a little deeper later, but I don't know what I'm seeing that makes me think that. And, you know, there have been some moments this year where you're like, man, this is looking good. This is look good. But the moments are too fleeting, and they're followed up by too many moments where I go, what the hell's happening? And last night was a whole heap and helping of what the hell's happening watching Mississippi State football. And I just don't know that this is the correct direction. I can't sit here with confidence today and tell you that yes, I believe that Jeff Lebby is the coach that's going to get Mississippi State football back up and running today. I can't tell you that. I won't tell you that. I will not tell you that.
Yeah, it's. I think, and like we've taken some heat on saying that he was, but I mean,
yeah.
Look, again, this is the nuanced conversation that we talk about. Mississippi State's 2-10 last year.
Mm-hmm.
Second game of the season, you beat a top 25 team. You show that you can go win a ball game when your back's against the wall against a really good team, a playoff team from last year. The people that were yelling at us for having that take that week were talking about how good Arizona State was. I can take you back to those posts where those people were hyping up Arizona State, saying people were overlooking them. They had one of the most experienced teams in the country coming back, and that was a playoff team last year. So I'm not going to apologize for having a reaction after that, thinking Jeff Lebby was turning things around. I'm just not going to do that. But we can come back now and we can look at 7 weeks or 7 or 8 weeks now since that game.
Mm-hmm.
And we have evidence of Mississippi State finding ways to lose the way that they have, mismanagement of ball games from Jeff Lebby, the players just doing really dumb things. And we can come back and we can change our opinion on that. And mm-hmm. that, it happens all the time. Our opinion's changed on that. Until Jeff Lebby proves to Mississippi State fans and to everyone that he can go win those ball games consistently and he's not doing things that's shooting himself in the foot and things like that, then that's the approach you have to take. Because at the end of the day, right now, Lebby is 7-16 overall. He's 1-12, 1-14. That's, I don't care how you slice it, man. That's bad. And the team's better. The program is in a solid place as far as like they play hard and things like that, but nobody cares about that.
Mm-hmm.
At the end of the day, all that matters is whether or not you're winning the games, and they're not. So it's at the point now where you're going to have to show that you can win these ball games and push Mississippi State forward. Otherwise, State can't continue to tread water like this. And it's going to be difficult in the offseason, man. Like you've got to go out there and improve this roster. How are you going to do that if fans are saying, I'm not spending my money on this, man? Like, I can't. They just spent over $15 million on this roster. It is better, but the results are potentially 5-7. You get 3 more wins. It's going to be hard to convince Mississippi State fans at that point. Now, you go win the Egg Bowl, you get to a bowl game. I think that a lot of this fan base, they might not totally forget what Jeff Lebby's done, but they will say, you know what, I could see, you know, he's kind of learning on the job. He's gotten two pretty big wins this year. He got us to a bowl game. I think people would be willing to see what he does with another offseason.
Mm-hmm.
But if you lose, I don't know. I mean, they didn't sell very many season tickets this year. I imagine that goes down next year if they can't win here. And who knows what the Egg Bowl looks like. I mean, I don't, you know, Ole Miss has a lot more optimism than Mississippi State right now, and they'll be feeling good about themselves. I imagine they'll buy up a lot of tickets in this game, and I'm sure Mississippi State fans are saying, "I'm not going to waste my money on this on Thanksgiving weekend." That's where people are right now. You've asked Mississippi State fans to do so much, and they have, for me, for a guy that's 7-16, they've stayed in there with Jeff Lebby more than most fan bases probably would. Because at this point, he hasn't done anything to prove that this team is worth fully supporting with financially. And so that's kind of where you are right now as a program is like you've got to prove to Mississippi State fans that they are supposed to be supporting this program in that way.
Number two, the Arizona State game was a false flag. It was a fluke. It was not an indication of where the program is headed. Just Mississippi State got lucky. They got lucky to win that game. You can make a case they got lucky to beat Arkansas, but Arkansas is not a very good football team, so I'll let that one slide. Two bad teams played each other. One of them had to win. But the Arizona State game to me was a total false flag at this point. It was not any kind of indication, any kind of telling statement on where Jeff Lebby was taking this program.
Well, I think that game had a lot to do with Mississippi State fans. They created an atmosphere that really rattled Arizona State, especially early on. The fan base kind of willed Mississippi State to that win. They were awful in the second half. And so, yeah, I mean, that appears to be kind of an anomaly at this point. I mean, the team has not shown to be any better from that moment.
Number three. Hold on a second. Where'd it go? There it In 2010, if Chris Relf had had more carries in a game than Vic Ballard, I don't have a huge issue with that. If in 2015 or 2014, Dak Prescott has more carries than Josh Robinson or has more carries than Brandon Holloway and Ashton Shumpert, I don't have a problem with that. In 2017, 2018, if Nick Fitzgerald has more carries than Aris Williams or Kylin Hill, I don't have a problem with that. But there is no reality where Blake Chapin should have more carries than Fluff Bothwell and Devon Booth did combined. That cannot happen under any circumstances. And yet it did. And yet it did. We're going to tie some of these things together here. Because number four, Lebby in the post game says, that those plays, those are RPOs. I just want to point something out. Two things I want to point out. One, if they're giving you the QB run, then you have to put in the running quarterback. And then
Yes.
they change and they're like, okay, now we got to take away the QB run. That means the regular run is open or the pass might be open. The other thing I want to point out is this, and I want to make something really clear when I say this. I'm not trying to compare what I did in 1A high school football to anything happening at the college level today. I'm not. But football existed for like 90 years before RPOs were a thing. You got in the huddle and you called a run or you called a pass. All right? Black right, 32 power. What's happening? We're going off tackle and we're handing it off to the tailback. Done. Black right, 32 power, keep. I'm going to fake the handoff and the quarterback's going to go right in behind him. Quarterback's running the ball there. Done. There's no option. You just ran the ball. Guess what? There's black right, 32 power pass. You know what's going to happen there? We're going to fake like we're running the ball and we're going to throw a pass. Sometimes you can just call passes and runs and it doesn't have to be a damn option in there. It just doesn't have to be. So when you say that, well, that's the look they're giving us, they're giving you that look because Shapen can't run. That's the reason they're giving you the look. So take
Do
it
you
away.
think that Chapin was trying to prove a point?
Lebby, you mean? Or Shape? Lebby or
No, I
Shape?
think Chapin, because I don't think those were called, I don't think a lot of those were called runs. Do you think that Chapin was trying to prove a point? You think I
Maybe.
can't run, I'm gonna run.
Possibly.
And it like because
And
I
then.
think that he was getting frustrated that Kamario was getting in the ball game and taking him out, and he was saying, I can run too.
So
And it just.
let me do number five here, and then we'll have this discussion. Number five, you have a quarterback that isn't a good scrambler, and statistically is one of the worst in the country under pressure. You have a porous offensive line. I want you to explain what State did offensively last night like I have never watched football before. Explain what they were doing. Explain that game
The
plan to me.
opposite of what we said that would work in this game.
Yes.
And I said it in the first quarter. You're doing a disservice to Blake Chapin. He should not be taking 20 hits a game. That's essentially
No.
what he took in this ball game, and they were teeing off on him. I mean, for whatever reason, like teams just absolutely lay in to Blake Chapin. With that in mind, like you're putting him in a situation that he can't win. It's a defense that gets after the quarterback. Mississippi State's offensive line is probably the worst in the SEC. They can't block. And then all of a sudden, you're going to ask your quarterback to run more times than his running backs. He had more carries than the top two running backs combined. You have a strength in that group. Fluff Bothwell, Devon Booth, Xavier Gayton got in the game. That's a strength. That's one of the few strengths that you have on this team. Why are they not utilizing it? Why are they rushing with Blake Chapin, who has a history of injuries, who is not a running quarterback, and is behind an offensive line that cannot protect? Why are you utilizing him in that situation? It's not Blake Chapin's fault.
No.
That's on Jeff Lebby. That is on
Chapin's
Jeff
doing the
Lebby for
best he can.
refusing, and he's trolling the fan base. We've said this earlier on in the year. He's trolling the fan base with Kamario Taylor. There is nothing that you can tell me at this point that suggests Kamario Taylor is not prepared to go in there and do the same thing that Blake Chapin's doing, which is throw pick sixes, get sacked. Actually, I don't think he's going to get sacked like that. When the defense is bearing down on Kamario Taylor, do you think he's just going to like fall to the ground? No.
Taylor's first play when they in the fourth quarter was a perfect example. They pressure him, he steps through and makes a throw and gets a positive gain. That's a sack with Blake Chapin. That play
And
would have been
all
a
right,
sack.
so and here the people have told me this. Well, he's not very accurate. Blake Chapin completed what 55% of his passes last night and
Yeah.
threw two interceptions. Well, you know, Kamario Taylor's kind of loose with the football. Chapin has fumbled five times in the last 3 or 4 weeks. He fumbled
Had
again
some
last
defense
night, and
last
it's
night.
like a fumble, like nobody's causing it. It's just coming out when he dives. So all right, that you got those two things where he's too loose with the football. I mean, what could possibly go wrong for Kamario Taylor that isn't already happening?
Because I'll be honest, it's one of those things like, if it could be, are you telling me it could be worse with Kamario Taylor? I have trouble believing that.
Can't believe it.
I have trouble
And
believing that.
so Jeff Lebby kind of backs himself into a corner. I've asked him several times this year, contrary to people's beliefs, we have asked about Kamario Taylor a lot. And we've asked tough questions to Jeff Lebby. They don't come across as tough questions to the fans because we're not saying, "Coach, why are you an idiot?
Yeah.
Why are you still employed?" That's
We're
what people want us to
having this
say.
discussion still.
I mean, every time Mississippi State loses a game, it's our fault. And it's never anybody else on the media. It's me and you. We're supposed to be the ones that are doing it. Why aren't you telling the people that are at the game to do that? We're not there. So, anyways, you know, that's the thing that I've asked Jeff Lebby is he capable of running the full scope of the offense? Yes, he is. I trust him in the full scope of the offense. Okay. So if that's the case, why is he standing on the sidelines against a defense that can get after the quarterback, with an offensive line that can't block? And when he runs the read, when he escapes the pocket, it's really putting pressure on the defense that Mississippi State can't do otherwise. You're playing essentially with a hand behind your back with an immobile quarterback in this offense. And that's the issue right now. And there's so many other things wrong with this team, but that's a big problem that could be alleviated if Mississippi State and Jeff Lebby just let the kid play. Just let him play. Because if you don't, the frustrations that are starting to come out from the fan base, I can guarantee you they're moving over to Kamario Taylor because he feels like he should be in the ball game. Imagine botching a guy who's a lifelong Mississippi State fan, who's a legacy recruit, who might be the most talented quarterback you've ever signed. Imagine botching that. That would be a fireable offense. So Jeff Lebby has got to figure it out, and I think the only way around it here to go into the off season is on Black Friday, get it prepared for 2 weeks, and that's your guy for
Go
the
with
Egg
him.
Bowl.
I
Yeah.
agree.
It's
All
sink or
right.
swim. He could be absolutely terrible in that ball game. I don't know, but I would much rather see him try it because
Yeah.
he's a guy that not many people around the country have a skill set like that.
Right. Speaking of press conferences, number six, I need to know what wasted plays are. So that's what I'm going to ask about when we have our next press conference. Now, I want to give everybody a heads up. Because the state's on the bye, it's possible that there's no press conference tomorrow. I'm trying to remember. Did we
I think we
have, we
did
didn't have.
Tuesday, and it was like in the
But you do
locker
like
in
a
the weight room.
Tuesday after practice availability, right?
Yeah, in the weight room.
Which I'll be honest with you, I've already got like three interviews scheduled for Tuesday. I probably won't be able to make it. So, Robbie, if you want to ask that question for me, the question I want to ask is this. Coach, you said that one of the reasons you play Blake over Camario is you don't have wasted plays. Give me an
And
example. What is a wasted play? Because all when I'm going to phrase it like all I can see is what I watch on when I'm watching the games, and I see for Camario, and it looks to me like he's being productive. So
that's the thing. It's like
what is a
what have we
wasted
seen from
play?
Camario that has been egregious at this
What
point?
is a wasted play? What play are you telling me that? What is the play that that Blake makes that Camario can't make? Is there a play in this game? Can you give an example of a play from this game where that Blake made that Camario couldn't have?
And if you did find one, I can find
I can
six
find
or
four.
seven, eight or nine. I don't want to do the six, seven thing.
Don't say that.
I could find eight or nine plays in there that Camario probably would have made that didn't
Yeah.
get made. Like the third down, some of these third and longs, like where you knew, like I'm just sitting there going, this is going to be bad. And then it's a like scramble interception or scramble incomplete pass or sack.
Yeah.
Like those are plays. First of all, you're probably not in that position with Kamario Taylor more often than not because he's able to escape the pocket. He's able to create plays with his legs, things like that. But it's just, you can't convince, there's nothing, there's absolutely nothing that can be told to me. Nothing. That suggests, you know what? That makes a lot of sense. You probably are better off with Blake Chapin. There's nothing.
You're
You
right.
tell me he don't understand the offense? No, but because Jeff Lebby's already said that he does.
Yeah. All right. Number seven. Something we say a lot here on Thunder and Lightning, but Saturday night was one. It was a classic. I'd rather lose my way than win somebody else's way game. That is a coach who was just set in his thought process. This is what we're going to do. I know the best here. I'm not changing anything, and it completely screwed his team. I don't know because of the way they played defensively. I don't know that they win the game if Kamario Taylor starts and plays the whole game. I don't know that for a fact. But what I do know is the offense, there is no question in my mind the offense would have been more efficient.
Yeah.
There's just no question in my mind.
They scored 27 on a
Yeah.
really good
And
defense.
it
Like
should have
that.
been 30. They had the field goal, which was basically that should have been 30.
I don't think Kamari throws two pick sixes.
Right. We probably State probably still loses that game like 38 to 30 or something like that. Maybe 38-35. Because defensively they couldn't stop Hardy, but they would have been in the game. So
By the way, do you have a defensive thing on here? Because
oh yeah,
I feel
we're
like we're
coming.
blaming the offense,
No,
but
it's I'm we're here. Number
God.
eight. There has been a complete regression defensively since the fourth quarter of the Texas game. Going into the fourth quarter of the Texas game, State's up 31 to 14. They've been pressuring Arch Manning all day. They forced turnovers. They looked fantastic. And in that quarter, Arch Manning broke this defense. They weren't great before that. Let's just be honest. They were below average, which we've said many times, hey, getting to below average would have been a huge step for this defense. That's where they were. They were playing really well in that moment. Since then, so they give up what? Do the math with me. 31 points in the fourth quarter and overtime of the Texas game. They give up 35 to Arkansas. They give up 41 to Georgia, and they give up 49 to Missouri. So That's where they are. And they the last night was the low point. Now there may be another low point coming. It could very easily be coming. But
Yeah,
last
because I don't
night,
think Kewon Lacy's that far behind Ahmad Hardy.
here's your stat. Here's the stat. Number nine. Two times in 2 years, the defensive game plan's got to be they have an inexperienced quarterback, but they have an elite running back. So stop the elite running back and make that guy put eight guys in the box, play man coverage, especially last night. You've got an NFL corner. He's going to take away one of the receivers. He did give up a touchdown last night, but that was a really lucky catch. I mean, there's just no getting around that. Kelly
Yeah,
Jones was.
because they didn't make a single play like that again the rest of the
Yeah,
night.
Kelly Jones was draped all over him, and he just happens to go down, and the ball
And
was
you
there.
had safety help right there,
Yeah,
which.
there's nothing they could have done. So, two times in 2 years, that's the game plan, right? In those two games, the two quarterbacks combined completed 18 passes, and the two running backs combined rushed for 562 yards. Scadabo and Hardy.
Terrible.
Two
Terrible.
games where the game plan has to be whatever happens, we're going to load up the box and they're not going to run the football. 562 combined rushing yards. That's beyond embarrassing.
Embarrassing. And that, like, this is not Mississippi State football to have a defense that's just getting absolutely shoved down the field. I
No.
mean, you had guys just getting blocked. Cole Kublik was talking about it. Guys just getting blocked, 20 yards down the field. And they couldn't tackle. They were in terrible position. The game plan was bad. The execution was even worse. That's on Coleman Hutzler. And this is what happens when you hire a first-time defensive coordinator that's never done this before. You have coaches on the defensive side of the ball that have not recruited well. The defensive line talent's not there. Thank God for Kelly Jones. I don't know what they would do at cornerback. The safety play is not good. The linebackers are bad right now. I mean, there's nobody really making plays at linebacker. Nick Mitchell had the interception. But this is what happens when you hire first-time coaches. And I think we're seeing coaches that are having to learn on the fly. The state can't afford to learn on the fly like this. So it's one of those deals where if I'm Zach Selman, which he's going to have an opportunity to go to Oklahoma, I'm sure. I don't know where he's leaning on that. I don't know where they are either on that. So he might not even have to make any decisions. I don't know. But whoever's in charge of Jeff Lebby, it looks like I doubt that there's a coaching change for Mississippi State,
We
but
can talk about that.
there has to be some demands happen here. I mean, Jeff Lebby is going to have to go put together a staff that is SEC caliber. You need a legit defensive coordinator that's done it before. Hey, you got one on staff. Let Mike McIntyre call plays. I don't know. If you can't go out there and get an elite defensive coordinator, that might be the direction that you go. But what you got, you're not getting the results. You can't do this 2 years in a row. You cannot do this 2 years in a row and survive in this league. So they've got to make major changes on this staff. I think that's first and foremost. That has to happen. And then you got to get better as far as your individuals. But they're not doing that. The defense didn't get good enough to be lining up on the line of scrimmage and stopping a guy like Ahmad Hardy. They don't have the guys up front to do that, and they consistently don't have the numbers to defend that. Do what Arkansas did. Arkansas sold out to stop Mississippi State from running the football. State should have done that. And you have a quarterback that he made one good throw the entire ball game. He finished 8 of 15. And the only reason that the state was getting stops in the fourth quarter was because they started throwing the football like a bunch of morons. They should have just handed the ball off the ball to Roberts and Hardy and let them run it down State's throat another 20 times. And that's the only reason State got off the field on those two or three drives. So it's just it was like being strapped to a table and having your eyelids stapled to your forehead and tortured to watch that
Told you it's the
four
Clockwork
quarters.
Orange thing.
Yes, that's what happens. That's what happens to Mississippi State fans when they're watching state football
Yeah. All
and
right.
possibly basketball.
Well, let's save that for another day.
Yeah, I don't
We'll
want to bring too much misery.
number 11, number 10, I'm sorry. There will not be wholesale changes to this staff, no matter how much there should be. I want to prepare you guys for that right now. If you think that at the day after the Egg Bowl, you're going to see like four or five guys get pushed out, that's not going to happen. Maybe one, maybe two, but it's not going to be a whole new defensive staff and two or three guys off the offense. It's just not. And that's
a problem.
Wishing, no amount of crying, no matter how many posts you make on both message boards, you know who I'm talking to, it's not going to happen. So just prepare yourself for that. Go ahead and swallow that little bit of grief and rage down, my friends. It's just not going to happen.
And that's going to infuriate this fan base and 100%. cause even more issues. And that's what blocking out the noise and all that stuff that Jeff Lebby's doing. I'm glad he's not like locked in on everything that people are saying, but you're failing. You're failing fast. You're 7-16. What you're doing isn't working. You've got to listen to somebody. You've got to do something to change what you're doing. Just saying you're staying the course and being consistent and all that
doesn't work.
Doesn't work. Yeah. A lot of coaches get fired because they think they know more than the average person.
Yeah.
And when everybody's saying it, you know, if there's just a collection of people that are saying this is dumb and the coach is an idiot and stuff like that, that's one thing. But like, if everybody sees your issues and you're not fixing it, that's a you problem. That's not a fan base, like not knowing their expectations or their place or whatever. Mississippi State should not be in the position they're in. This program should be better than it is. The people have invested in it. They got the money to do it. You got people that care. It should be better than it is. The State fans don't deserve this. They don't deserve to have to sit through this every single week. They've invested in this program. They've believed in Jeff Lebby. And this is the results you get. They don't deserve that.
Number 11. This one makes me laugh. This one right here. I picked this team to win four games. I said they would go 4-8. They've won five. They could win six, I guess. I don't think they will. But even if they only win five, they outperform my prediction. And yet somehow I feel worse about the program than when I made them say 4-8. I felt better in August saying 4-8 than I do now, knowing they're probably going to be 5-7.
Well, it's because...
How is that possible?
Well, it's because we've seen
right
so many things that they're doing to themselves.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the problem is we just thought coming in they just weren't going to be very talented and they were going to be outclassed by these SEC schools. But the SEC is not as good as it appeared preseason.
Right. Right.
There's been more winnable ball games on the schedule, a lot more than what we thought initially. And State is losing these games not because they're just worse than the other team, because they are doing these things to themselves.
Mm-hmm.
Turnovers, penalties, bad play calling. State should have scored a touchdown on first and goal. They were on the 2-yard line. Instead, they get, you know, pushed back. They end up having to kick a field goal. They didn't even get the
penalty.
Field goal off. You get 0 points out of that. State would have been winning the ball game, and they were playing terribly at that point and would have been winning the ball game. So despite all of that, they should have been winning the game against Missouri going into the half. And they did everything possible to screw up in this game. Like, there wasn't many things that I could just pull out of my head that could have gone wrong that didn't go wrong.
Yeah.
They almost had everything. It was a circus. And so that's why you feel worse about this team is they're not just getting beat.
I actually watched them.
They're not just getting beat. They're just not doing their job. I mean, it's kind of like that 9-win team in 2022. We were frustrated watching them too. You know, like it just was not a fun product.
I've learned something then. I'd rather be frustrated and win than frustrated and lose.
Oh yeah, no, 100%. I mean, you're not going to take the loss, but I'm just saying that's kind of the same thing. Is like while this team's better.
Yeah.
We see all the issues that they've had, and that's very concerning.
Yeah. Number 12. A lot of people out there right now want to move on from Jeff Lebby. I understand that, and you got a lot of evidence in your corner as to why. If you're the opposite, though, and you want to keep him, you're saying two things. One, I said this on the postgame last night. You don't think Mississippi State can go out and find a guy who can win more than one SEC game in 2 years. Because if you find a guy who goes and wins two SEC games in 2 years, you improved. You improved on Jeff Lebby. So
Two
you're saying
games.
that. But the other side of that is if you're a person like, oh, no, I'm still 100% on board with Jeff Lebby, you can't give me a reason why, other than you're just an optimist. You
Yeah.
don't have any evidence whatsoever. The team is not that much better than it was a season ago. Your recruiting is absolutely miserable. I mean, it's just as bad as it has ever been. There's no enthusiasm or excitement around this football program. And you can't point to one single thing that Mississippi State does well on a consistent basis. What is something that this football team does well week in and week out? If you answer
Grab
that
a gun
question,
and shoot themselves in the foot.
but no, yeah, I said, well, that's, yeah, I guess they do that well. If
They
you can
do.
tell me one good thing that this team does on a daily basis, we will go to Prime 44 this week and I'll pay for it.
Yeah, I mean, what I would say usually is they will play hard. I
That
don't
is
know
the
if I saw
minimum
that
I
on
can expect
Saturday.
from a team. That is the absolute minimum. Like, they
Yeah, but
play hard.
I don't even know if we saw that for most of the
Last night
game.
it wasn't. Yeah.
The effort on defense was
Was
pathetic.
not great.
I mean, that play where they had Hardy in the backfield and he just like
Gross.
shrugged off everybody and walked in the end zone. Oh my
Did you
God,
watch
it was.
watching that? Cole Kublik did a little like a chalk talk thing, right? And so he's showing the blocking, and it's good blocking. And then he just stops and goes, now, I'm not going to pretend he didn't, a couple of tackles didn't get missed. Yeah, they had him in the backfield, and nobody wraps him up. It was miserable to watch. 300 yards rushing. Should be embarrassed.
That's pathetic.
All
I
right,
mean,
last.
those are the situations where like it would be really nice if Jeff Lebby came out and said, this is absolutely pathetic that we did this tonight. This is on me. This is something that I've got to figure out a way to do this, but I apologize to every single person that watched that. That is not our expectations. We didn't play how we want to play or needed to play, but at the same time, you people don't deserve this. That
Agree.
that's what
I'd be
he's
a
got
lot
to
more.
do. And he's not resonating with the fans right now.
No. All
And if
right,
you
last
can't
two.
resonate with the fans in this era, it's going to be really difficult to win.
Last two. Let's talk about what happens on Black Friday. Number 13. Don't get upset. Ole Miss fans, I know you're listening. Don't get upset when I say this. The Egg Bowl is completely winnable, but it will play out the way the last two have. It'll be close. State will hang around. Ole Miss fans will be doing that thing where they love and hate Lane Kiffin simultaneously because he makes some dumb play calls every now and then. But in the end, Ole Miss will pull away and win the game.
Think so?
I think we go to the fourth quarter and it's something like 21-17 Ole Miss, and then it finishes up 28-17, 31-17, something like that.
I could see that. Well, and the main reason is like this program under Lebby just they've found ways to lose. And right now, Kiffin and Ole Miss, they used to do that when he first got there. They found ways to lose. They're finding ways to win. They should have lost that game against Florida last night. If it played out just like I said it would, though. Florida, if they were competent, would have won that game.
Yes, but they're
Ole
not,
Miss
so they
was
didn't.
completely like stuck in mud and for most of that second half, but they found a way. And that's what they do. They're not blowing people out. They barely beat Washington State. They didn't beat Florida by much. You know, these games are close. But they know how to win games, and State does not know how to win games. That's probably how it's going to go. But you really never know in this series. I mean, it's a very strange series. The stuff with Kiffin, I mean, I've never seen anything like it. Why he does what he does, and you know, he's just sitting there trolling his fan base on a daily basis. They're at the point now where they're just ready for him to move on, and this guy has done everything for that program, and
They
they're
won
ready for him to
10
leave.
plus games 4 of the last 5 years.
Mississippi State fans would be on his front porch with pecan pie,
There'd already be a statue.
Yes, and Ole Miss fans are just like, we don't care. You can leave because they think they can just have another Lane Kiffin pop right in. This is the experience you have to deal with Lane Kiffin. He has not come out. He won't come out and say, "I'll be here next year. I love it here." All that stuff. He won't do that. So that we'll see what happens. But if I was a betting man, I would bet that Ole Miss will do every single thing possible to have an extension signed this week. And if it doesn't happen, and then it doesn't happen Egg Bowl week, then
And
things are
they're in
really
trouble,
interesting.
probably. Yeah.
Things are
But
really interesting
all
at
right.
that point.
Well, that's on the Ole Miss side of things as far as coaches goes. Number 14 is about state. A 2008 kind of Egg Bowl might create some movement. But in reality, I think we got 13 more games. That's where I am.
I don't foresee any change. It would have to be just an absolute embarrassment.
It'd have to be like 2008.
Yeah.
But
It would have to be
it's not like that.
blowout. They take over the stadium. That's what it would have to be.
Then we have 13 more games. That's where Mississippi State is right now. So
And
I
what
will.
is the faith that next year things are going to get better? The recruiting is awful right now. I doubt there's a lot of changes on the staff.
Yeah.
Libby likes his guys and he likes the familiarity.
No,
And
I
I
don't think
just
there's gonna
don't.
be big changes. I really don't. Really don't. I'm happy your Steelers won today. I could have gone for some more points from Flacco, though. I mean, could you?
Hey, after the last game we played them, that's a great
That's what I'm saying. That's why I
turn of
started
events.
Flacco. I was like, oh, against the Steelers? He killed them last time.
God, it was awful last time. You had like 250 yards from Chase. And
Oh, well.
this story that you posted earlier about the Dolphins, it's still up.
Like, I saw that on Twitter. I was like, that game's over already? That can't be right. What time did they kick off? And then I look, I was like, it's the second quarter.
It was posted 2 days ago. Is that just an AI story? Like,
Yeah, it was based off of what Gronk was doing. But, like, where are you getting that from? I don't know. I don't know. All right, let's move into the last part of the show. That's brought to you by our friends over at Two Brothers Smoke Meats and the Older Brother. Two great places to enjoy food in the Cotton District. I love Two Brothers so much. It's just one of my favorite restaurants. I love the Older Brother. I don't go there enough, but man, when I do go there, and the thing I like about the Older Brother is that's a small restaurant, but it's always packed, but the service is always good. And like sometimes you get a small restaurant with only a few tables and they're just always busy, and you get people in there, they're rude. They don't, they
yeah.
know that they're going to be busy, so they don't really care. Not the case at the Older Brother. Great, great people up in there, and the food is always fantastic. So the Older Brother, Two Brothers Smoked Meats. Next time you're in Starkville, you need to go eat there. Great products. Oh, here we go. Great products, great service. This is the part where Robbie's like, oh no, I have to perform. Great products, great service. Every business likes to promise it to you. They deliver it to you at Advantage Business Systems. They've been doing it for, hold on, let me get the NWO point here. 50 years.
State almost gave up 50 points.
Well, I can't do anything about that. But if you do need a new copier or a new printer, new laptops, new computers for your business, Advantage Business Systems, that's the place you want to call because they've been helping out customers just like you for a long, long time. And not only that, you are talking about a place that's because they're in Mississippi. If you're in Mississippi, they can get out to you a lot of times the same day. So if something goes wrong, it can be a quick fix and not a long wait with Advantage Business Systems. 601-362-9192 or visit them online, absms.com. Find out how Advantage Business Systems will help your business do business. Maroon and Clo, Mom, Clo? Maroon and Co. is the place to go when you're looking for Mississippi State gear. When you need to find something maroon and white in Starkville, Maroon and Co. is the place. And my friends, I'm just telling you that nobody has a bigger or better selection than our friends over at Maroon & Co. Whatever you're looking for, Mississippi State, they have got it. Use our promo code THUNDER15 to save 15% off regular price. Some exclusions do apply. Before you go to your next Mississippi State football, basketball, baseball game, next time you're in Starkville, or if you're shopping online and you're getting ready for Christmas, MaroonandCo.com. Maroon & Co. is the place to go. We're going to be at Scruggs Farm Lawn and Garden. Come this Wednesday at Super Talk on Super Talk Mississippi on Sports Talk Mississippi and Thunder and Lightning Live. Guys, let me just go ahead and give you some ideas here because that's when their holiday savings are going to start beginning. All right. First off, let's just talk about some of these things. Sporting goods. The largest selection of knives in North Mississippi, all major brands, Case and more. Yeah, Case knife gift set starting at just $20. Feed and tackle, all Tribute, Nutrina, and Calmback feed, $3 off a bag. Saturday, this coming Saturday only, Saturday the 22nd. What about for John Deere? All right, 0% for 84 months on
Oh, wow.
5E series trackers. Yeah, that's 7 years, 0%. 0% for 72 months on compact tractors. 0.9% on for 36 months, or 1.9% for 84 months on Gators.
You
40%
can't buy
off.
hardly anything right now without interest.
You can at Scruggs. 40% off select kids and men's Ariat boots. Greenworks 21-volt power tools and starting at $25. Huge discounts on toys, on Christmas decor, and much more. It's all happening at Scruggs.
This
That's all
place
you
is a
need to know.
dad's paradise.
Guys, if ladies, we love you here on Thunder and Lightning. Don't get us wrong, but let me talk to the guys for just a minute. Guys, if you want to have a good time, a good time that you can tell your family about, go to Scruggs Farm Lawn and Garden. I promise you,
We need
they
that
have what you
meme
want.
where the woman's like, I bet he's thinking about other women, and the man's
Yes,
like, I wonder what kind of sale they have at Scruggs today.
I'm tweeting. That's getting stolen. That's $1 million idea. We're taking that.
I'll give it to you.
All right. They have what you want for less. If you're a landowner in the state of Mississippi, you need to be talking to my friends at Good Hope Land and Timber. Doesn't matter if you got 100 acres or a few thousand acres. When you're talking about your full service land and timber company, that's Good Hope Land and Timber. Years of experience in forestry and land management. Whether you're looking to buy property, sell property, or maintain and upgrade your own property, the good people at Good Hope Land and Timber are here for you. Good Hope Land and Timber, locally trusted. Landowner approved. A lot of important things happening around the world as we speak. Let's talk about something else that's important.
Let's talk about something important. Put that coffee down. Coffee's for closers only.
Coffee is for Closers is brought to you by Strange Brew Coffeehouse. StrangeBrewCoffeehouse.com. Get some holiday cheer there as well. If you got a coffee lover, if you want to get some of the world's best hot chocolate, they got it all for you at StrangeBrewCoffeehouse.com. For Mississippi State, not a damn one of you, not one person is getting a drop of coffee this week. Are you kidding me? Not one of you can
Put
have
the
any coffee.
espresso up, Shane.
No chance. Shane, if somebody comes in there, Mississippi State football, no. We reserve the right to refuse service. Get out. Absolutely not. No Folgers, no community, no Maxwell House, no Great Value.
Just
You
gonna have
want
to
some
deal with the
caffeine? You better
monsters.
chug a Red Bull.
They're just gonna drink monsters for breakfast.
I don't care. You can't even have that. They have the Mocha Monster. Nope. Nothing coffee, no coffee ice cream, no coffee crusted filet mignon, nothing.
Ooh, coffee crusted filet.
It's a thing. All right. In the SEC, I mean, come on, guys. I was so hoping to be able to say Ole Miss here, but they did pull it out. But South Carolina, I may have picked South Carolina regardless. 30-3 ahead, and they lose 31-30. You can't get one field goal in the second half. That's a fireable. Never, one game should not be a fireable offense, but sometimes maybe it should be. That's ridiculous. Beamer should be fired. He's in year five, and they're going to win four games this year.
Yeah, no, he absolutely should be fired. And I don't think he's going to get the Va Tech job. I think Franklin's probably going to take that.
Yeah.
So he might be stuck. To be a, I mean, somebody came in there and was like, you can't say anything about this after what we did. Yes, I can. I can talk about both of them. And
I can do
this was
whatever I want.
significantly worse.
I can do
They
whatever
were
I
up
want.
30, they were up 30 to 3.
Yeah.
30 to 3 at the half.
Yeah.
This was a massacre.
I remember telling my wife, like we were getting out of the car to go to the hump. I was like, man, South Carolina is killing Texas A&M. It's 30-3. About right as about the game is about to start, or maybe like midway through, like a little bit into the first half of the basketball game. I was like, "Hey, you remember when I said it was 30-3, South Carolina?" She's like, "Yeah." It's like, "Yeah, it's 31-30, Texas A&M now." And she just looked at me. She's like, "How is that possible?" I was like, "Buddy, I wish I knew, because I don't. I don't know how that's possible."
It was wild.
One of the craziest college football. I need to see the win percentage just go like. Just go like that. So,
Because
I.
at halftime it was like 99% because
Oh,
no
yeah.
one had ever, nobody had ever come back from a 27-point deficit
Yeah.
in the SEC, I don't think. So it was probably 99%.
Last one, nationally, not a bad week nationally, but South Florida killed their playoff chances. They're done. They can't get in. So I went with them. Losing to Navy just couldn't
I was
happen.
happy for my nephew is in the Navy right now. And so I
Salute to
was,
him.
yeah, I was pulling for the midshipman.
I could have gone with Southern Miss here. Maybe I should.
That was brutal.
I picked them as my lock of the week. And they lost
And
41
like,
to 14 at home to a Texas State team that had three starters out for suspension. What on earth?
that had won three games coming
Yeah,
in.
they were not good. And like if you
G.J.
win that game,
Kenny's team, and by the
if
way,
you keep going, then go.
a lot of people have been crapping on G.J. Kenny. His offense is still humming. I mean,
Yeah,
they're still scoring in the
he
40s. Their
needs, you
defense
know
is
what,
bad.
he's making $2 million a year, but he needs to be say, look, I'll take 1.5 to be a coordinator at a power school.
That, or I think it's just it's going to be tougher for a group of six teams to consistently be good
Yeah, a kid that can't
because
hold on to their talent.
they're going to
Yeah.
have to live on evaluations and making sure they get the right players because year to year, they're going to fluctuate.
Yeah.
You know, you're not going to know what you got
Yeah.
because they're going to have to get a whole new roster every year.
Yeah.
I think he's a good coach. I think they're
Hey,
having a bad
Southern
year.
basically, if they win that game, they've all but wrapped up the Sun Belt West, and they just gave that away. And now they got South Alabama this week, who's not very good. They should be able to win that one. But they got to host Troy, and if they don't win
Yeah.
that, they're not going to Sun Belt Championship game. That was a bad, bad loss for the Golden Eagles.
And
So.
also, like, what are Southern Miss fans doing? Like, I saw a picture of that stadium. There's nobody there.
Was it a bad crowd? That's
It's
disappointing,
awful.
man. I mean,
They were
what
1
more
and
can you want
11
from your
last year.
team? What more can you want?
You better support him. I think he's
I
going to
hope
leave
so.
anyway pretty soon. But give him your support. You actually have somebody there that can win games. I didn't understand it.
All right. Tomorrow's show. I don't know about Lebby yet. We haven't gotten any direction from Mississippi State as we're recording right this second, so we'll talk about that at a later date. But we may be recapping a press conference. If we don't recap the press conference tomorrow, if we don't talk to Levy, we may do a little more basketball heavy tomorrow. Talk about that team. We got to do picks. I am now two behind on Robbie because Arkansas just can't win close games. So I may have to make some crazy picks here in these last 2 weeks if I want to have a chance to avoid picking up the tab for dinner. We'll talk about all that tomorrow. For Robbie Falk, I'm Brian Adad. Thanks for listening to Thunder and Lightning here on Super Talk.
Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.